The meeting of July 11th, please move to order. Can I have approval of the July 13th regular meeting?
Motion, please.
Second. Second. Mr. Collins, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Motions are to adopt unless otherwise stated. Resolution number 323. Can I have a motion to amend 323 as presented?
Make.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to recuse. Can I get a motion to adopt resolution 323 as amended?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Going to be abstaining. Start recusing.
What's the difference?
There is a difference. I forget what it is off the top of my head, but there is a difference.
Bring down.
357 was defeated in laws and rules. 358 was postponed in laws and rules. Resolution 359, can I have a motion?
Aye. Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 36, resolution 362, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Just a comment, I guess. So I did receive some backup information on this. Would it be possible to also get data that shows that there was information about the number of youth that they served in Q3 of, I'm sorry, 4 of 23? Would it be possible to get the number of days each, you know, the total days for the 12 youth that they served, how many days total that was? So to know that they served 12 people in a 3-month period is helpful, but it's even more helpful to know that all, if this was the case, all three actually stayed there every single day, which would be 360.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We sent over additional reports from OCFS, which had their duration of stay.
Okay.
But if there's more that you need, I sent them over in a subsequent email. If there's more that you need from there, I'm happy to send it to you.
Okay, I have to check that. And I don't think I saw that, so that might have had what I wanted. But I thought it was just...
The number of days, yeah. It shows the different ranges.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 363, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the executive staff. 363 and 364 almost look identical. Can you explain the difference?
Yes, they're for two different houses. So one's in Kingston and one's in Ellenville. And it used to be the case that the state is half on them just in one pot to both. But starting this year, they split it in half and half for each house.
Thank
you.
All those in favor?
That was
364. Running motion.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 365. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 366. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 367. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 368. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 369. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 370. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so carried. I'm going to skip 371. For legislator, you should tell. 372, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 374, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Both? Carried. 375. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 376.
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 377.
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's carried. 378.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 379. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 380. Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 382. Can I have a motion?
Like to move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? And I just had a question. I need answers to why the increase. It was sent over. What's causing the increase?
Originally, it had been bid out early last year, and there was actually a contract that was put in front of the legislature for the other half. The vendor would not sign that contract after award, as prices had continued to go up, so we had to go out again to find a new vendor in order to do the project. So that increase.
I did ask for an analysis of the payback on this, and it looked like on the original, it would have been an 18-year payback. But now, because of New York State programs, that we should be able to get partial reimbursement for a third, it should be a very short payback on this contract.
Yeah, I was just concerned when we put out things for bid, and people give us the price, and then, you know, then they back out on us. You know, there needs to be a little more commitment there, a little more teeth to hold them to an agreement. But I guess it answers the question at least. Any other discussion?
What was the time frame between the two?
Between the two, I would say about a year ago.
And this is a field in which supply chain issues might be a part of that. So I'm not sure what we can do. I don't even know, somebody would have to tell us, I guess, if we can take the fact that somebody backed out on a previous bid and into consideration if they bid on something else. I don't even know if we can legally do that.
Can we speak to responsible bidding?
Make it a consideration of a responsible bidder? I don't know that it's illegal to bid and then not comply, not and withdraw the bid prior to certain levels of contract.
I don't think it is. I would agree with you, but it certainly
puts us in a bad position.
It's bad business. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm actually going to oppose. I'm agreed. So motion is carried. 383 is the bond. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I will be okay for this. 384. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 385. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 386. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 387. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 388. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 390. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 391. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? carried for 982. You have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, 393.
Moved it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 395. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, 396 is the bond. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, 397. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, 398. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Just wait, I'll put it to the end just in case he pulls you back with women.
We're going to post, I'm going to make a motion to postpone.
I was going to say he gets back to you before the end of the meeting.
Okay.
That's, I'll put it to the end with it.
Okay.
All right, let's skip over 39 for now. Resolution 400, can I have a motion?
We'll move it.
Second. This discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, 401. Motion?
Move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, 402. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, 403. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, 405. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried, 406. Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 407. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Just a question for Deputy Laval. You think, let's say, you know, try to explain to me what this is. Can you try to explain to me what this is?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
The Gordian Group is a company, basically a job order contracting.
Hey, Kathy, this is Chris Acosta.
So it's competitively bid. There is a full index that's updated quarterly of various workforces or tasks under the contract.
Can you give
and
an
it
example?
Can, be,
can you give an example, sorry?
Changing a door. Striking, forcing a parking lot, and it covers a wide range of public works types of activities. For maintenance of facilities, swapping out lights. So this contract then allows DPW to get quotes on certain smaller jobs that are bigger than regular maintenance jobs, but smaller than a standalone contract or standalone larger project, and allow them to use Gordian to do that work.
I heard described as a job book. Basically, the book describes all the jobs and what the standard payment for that job is. And so that's how they come up with the total price for a bid, and that's how our bidding process works. So it's basically letting the county, the public works, people know what the bid should be. And then the bid then has the profit margin of the bidding company, and with a Gordian 5%. So that's, and my sense is that it gets us lower cost overall because it's standard prices as opposed to zero. Sure.
So this company actually goes out and finds the contractors. Or they just essentially...
No, they price the work.
So they're an estimating company.
Yes. But that's... But the contractors...
Are getting a different pay the, over there.
But the contractors agree to go with the estimate.
Yeah, because without giving...
No, I think it's my understanding as well. So it's a means for us to do larger than maintenance, but smaller than an individual project type of work, based on a standard rate schedule with Gordian the 5% above the book price for the different types of jobs. And it's competitive with the men ball. There are updates quarterly to the books.
So without this company, the county would not have information to put together its bids at the price level that is going to work, that's going to get us a bid. So we would end up having to put things out with estimates from internally that might not be as low as these, and or accept bids on things that are much higher than what this company says is available through other bidders. So it standardizes the process for this range of projects that's in between the big projects where we get a formal estimate and the small projects that they might be able to do internally. And it's updated quarterly, which our staff would not be able to do.
Okay, so let me give a scenario and tell me how this contract helps us as opposed to doing it that I thought we were doing. So we want to replace all the ceiling tiles in this room here. It's too big of a job for our staff, just for this example only. It's too big for our staff. We want a contractor to come in and do that. Why does it benefit us to use the Gordian Group as opposed to Public Works going out and calling three contractors asking for three written proposals to do that? How do we save money with Gordian?
For by having the predefined contract with all the work items on it, particularly for these smaller size jobs, it allows them to go straight to the book, know what that book is, and then basically do or look to Bellino's pen and give her a purchase order against the up to the contract value of the total job contract.
I would say it also depends on complexity. So the example you gave where it's just a roof and shingles, it may not be. It may be more efficient for us to reach out to vendors and call them. But say you're doing this room and you want to do the shingles, you want to paint the walls, you want to replace the outlets, you want to do the bookshelves. It's not, every vendor isn't going to be, that's their cup of tea. So what it does is it allows us to, in a more timely manner, use this, get the bucks out there to get that to hire a contract.
So we don't have a pre-approved vendor list like the state does. We don't have that for the county, for contractors. The Public Works.
We have some contractors on, I think. I don't know if I would use the pre-approved, but like you certainly have, if there's building maintenance equipment, like you may have, excuse my terminology, I call tool belt contracts, where it's, we have plumbers or we have a park that are really from.
Okay.
I did send a message out to try to get some more specific examples, and I think it's good for us to understand this, but perhaps we could go up and vote on it, and if you're not satisfied, then we'll just see what the will of the committee is.
Yeah.
And then try to get more information so that by the time this comes to us as a full body that we know what you have got.
Yeah, I would suggest that, I'm going to be a no. I would ask for would a postponement affect if that did happen?
I can't speak to that without speaking to DPW first, so I don't know yes or no. But I would also say that there is a significant time and administrative factor that also plays into using this. And again, it's not the only type of contracting for even these medium-sized jobs that is used. It's another, lots of tool metaphors, but it's another way to do that, so the tool to accomplish that. But it does also, because the contract is already set, and if the rate is known, you know, streamlines the back end as far as the administration and the paying paperwork, their setup, et cetera, that would be required if you were, and yeah, we were procuring each one of those types of smaller projects standalone.
So what I would ask for us to vote on this tonight, because we did ask about this in committee, and we had answers that satisfied us, so we passed it out of committee, and I don't know that it is, I think it's possible that the timing is important to make sure that this part of the bidding process is in place. If there's information that come forward between now and since it could make us think that this is a bad contract, then I think we have a chance to take that information into account.
Yeah, I would just say it sounds like this my test tonight anyway. I would ask that if it does, if I could get, you know, follow up on this, better education, maybe even from Gordian Group themselves, if someone can walk me through, and just still having understanding how this is something we could not do in-house. But so even if this does pass, I would ask that you follow up on this for me personally. So, all right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 408, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Only question I had to Deputy Vic LaValle, have we ever compared this contract to bringing it in-house?
I don't have that exact answer to that, but this contract originated when we were dealing with the huge number of trees that had been attacked by the emerald ash borer. So this was originally mainly ash trees.
I'm sorry, Mr. Daniel. I read the number wrong. My question is actually on the next one. I apologize.
Okay, so you're okay on.
You started talking about trees. I'm like,
I'm sorry. I was just talking about the resolution in front of us.
I am wrong. You are 100% right. That you triggered that response for me because I'm like, nothing to do with what I have done.
But ash trees are no longer as much of a problem as the last year on this contract, so we can talk trees next time.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 409, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? Now, this is my question. It was on the janitorial service. Have we ever looked at shaking this? The comparison would have cost to take gas.
I will refer my colleagues in budget because I believe that is an analysis that we look at just about every year as far as staffing costs in-house versus the contract.
Yes, Deputy Judge Lyle is right. I know one of the things that as we're starting the 2025 budget process, looking at is whether or not these contracts are more flexible at county or whether they are more efficient to do this in-house. But there's always a balance of looking at it's cheaper to hire an individual. We are adding a benefited position to the county. There's bulk rights and services there too for somebody. So if you have to scale up or scale down, it's harder for us to do that with a county employee than it is with top credit. So it becomes a balance between those two options. So I anticipate that when we get to the 25 budget that there may be a further discussion on whether or not we want to have an individual that is a county employee doing this work instead. But for now, I think we need this contract to be approved so that we can continue providing the services for the remainder of this year.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if we actually looked into it and the fact that we did. That's why. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Yeah. I don't know. Resolution 410, can I have a motion to postpone 1 month?
So on the basis of?
We don't have numbers.
We don't have numbers. I'll make a motion postponed for a month.
Second.
Discussion.
Why don't we have backup and are we going to have it next month?
So if I may, Chair Guevara, part of the reason why we asked for this resolution again was we've been working with our auditors at O'Connor Davies. When the resolution deadline was due, we had anticipated that there would be several transactions that we could make. We were able to make those transactions using the appropriation authority or the authority given to us under Section 40 of the Charter. However, as O'Connor Davies continues to do their work, I believe Commissioner Daw has been working with them on a daily basis, there may be additional items that they will identify in the next week or two that would necessitate potentially us having to transfer funds in order for them to effectively close the funding gym book.
So why, if you're waiting a week or two anyway, why can't we move to the next meeting so we have the numbers in front of us?
We have to refile our AUD and we have to file the audited financial statements by the end of September. I don't know if I want to push it any further than we have to.
So we'd have two more meetings in between that.
Some entries will affect other entries. And it's very hard to ensure that everything's balanced. It's very unusual to not be able to make the entries that are needed in an audit in a timely manner throughout the audit. This is a new thing that is not the norm. I understand that you want the transparency, but we have to be able to do the year-end entries as is required of GASB and other regulations, and things like the auditors identifying something that wasn't in place, should have been in place 2 years ago, resulting in the needs to do entries that we didn't foresee. So, or that we don't have until this time, like this Civita entries come from an outside source. So we don't have those at the time at the beginning of the year. So they come in much later into the audit. And that's when we find out, okay, there's a new GASB 96 this year that we didn't have last year, which affects a bunch of items that you can't foresee happening.
And we can't get these numbers by Tuesday?
It's unknown. There's also a meeting with ESS tomorrow that we don't know what that's going to shake out, right?
Right. We've been working with civil services on a couple of the questions the auditors have there that may result in some changes. We can most certainly provide that if there's an outcome on Friday tomorrow. We're more than willing to do that, provide the information to you.
So I would draw the motion to postpone. And I'll move this for adoption. And I'll explain that either now or the discussion if you like. But if there's a second,
I'll second it.
Okay.
So I understand that not having figures is normally a reason that I will stop things. But this is a complicated procedure that's being described here, and this resolution to authorize it gives us access to the information that is happening and a commitment that we will get that information as soon as available. They do not have the information tonight, or we would have it tonight. They need to make changes over the next couple of weeks. So I'd say we should authorize that and to get the information as promised as soon as they are making changes. It is not, it's this type of budgetary process is not something that I feel like we have that the legislature has a policy statement in this. We have a stake that it be done accurately and timely, but I'm not sure that we should be scrutinizing individual budget changes as they go. I mean, if we wanted to put in a limit that, you know, if it's some millions of dollars, but I think that we can stop it, the benefits of having an executive form of government, if we require everything that the executive is doing to come back to the legislature before it gets done. And so I am happier to move forward and let these kinds of things happen than to stop them.
Just the deadline is the end of September, as Commissioner Dahl pointed out. That's two more meetings prior to this.
The auditors don't want to drag this out until the end of September. They have other clients. I mean, we had to do this last year. It became pretty much a nightmare because they were trying to do other audits for other people and finish ours because we were in such bad shape. I don't know if it's, you know, fair to them to keep putting things off.
Well, it wouldn't be till September. It would be until the 21st, I guess, after our meeting. So of August, it would be if we were to postpone.
And then they have to still create financial statements after that.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have to agree with Legislator Nolan. I don't think the numbers are that important in this process. I think what's important is that we don't stand in the way and let the finance department do their job. And, you know, the county executive has these people here to do their job. And, you know, why should we stand in the way of that? And I'm sure they're going to do it just fine without you know, us standing over here looking at a bunch of numbers. Half of us won't know what they mean anyway.
So I would also just say that I'm hearing that this is an iterative process, that if it proceeds with the steps as described, then we get a final document that describes what our budget is and what's happened. So I think that that's the appropriate time for our review rather than during the process. But I think it's appropriate to bring the resolution because then we have this conversation and we have to get the pledge that it, you know, if it's iterative for you, then don't just hit us with everything at the end either. Give us the stuff as you're making changes so that if there's some red flags that go up that we can address it.
Yeah, I think the fact that we are here to vote on the authorization to make the transfers says it all to me, because we are the body that does that. This is our responsibility. To say that it's not and we're getting into something that's not ours, I just think that's completely inaccurate. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We are the funding body. This is what we should be looking at. And that's why we are the ones have to authorize this to happen. The execs branch can't do that without us.
Yeah, we'll take them.
If I may, the authorization that we're requiring is not for us, for the manager, the executive team to make these transfers based on our decisions. We are asking for the authority to make these transfers based on the suggestions and findings that the legislative hired auditors are identifying. So we've narrowed this down to as far as we can so that auditors can complete the work that they need to complete and in a timely fashion so that we're not holding the process up. I totally appreciate the concern about looking for and granting authority to this branch of government to make unilateral changes like existed in the past. You know, that is our desire here is to try and do this in as narrow a way possible.
Okay. There's also when January comes around and we prepare for the audit, and while the auditors are still here, we're still working on balancing things and tying things out and getting the schedules, which requires sometimes finding things that have to be fixed or entries that have to be made. And that happens right from January 1st right until they're almost gone, because then by the time they get here, they're inputting their entries as well as our own. So it's such a constantly evolving process. So each month we can't go further until we have that approval to go to that next step and make sure that that number equals what we need it to equal inside of the GL so that we can see what that next schedule is going to look like. It's a constantly evolving process.
I just wanted to offer a suggestion that, you know, since there probably will be some known entries and modifications by your legislative session, you could approve those that are proffered by session. So you have a tangible item that you're voting on in session. So at least some of these items could be addressed.
Yeah, I don't think that would fully satisfy what the request is in front of us. And I take the chair's point that this is a proper function for the legislature. And I can imagine a situation where we would find out about a transfer that we thought was inappropriate, and then what do we do? So let me see if my understanding is correct. I'm thinking of this audit process as likely to identify things that are in a category that the auditor that we hired feels is the inappropriate category for that. And then that gets changed so that then you can go and do the next step. That to me is something that we should review, but we should review it as that information becomes available and there's a need to get this all done and have a complete audit by the end of September. So I guess I would say what recourse would the legislature have if you're reporting to us on a weekly or biweekly basis about changes that you've made, and we see that you took $5 million from administrative something and reassigned it to a capital project. I'm not sure what would be terrible that might happen in this. So can you tell us the worst case scenario and then what options we would have if we feel that this went wrong by our giving you an authority to make these changes before we've seen them?
Right. So I'll go back. I think it's important to note, right, that we wouldn't be making any of the changes unless the external auditors recommended that those changes be made. So, and those auditors are hired by the legislature. They're not controlled by the executive. So while theoretically the auditors could recommend something that is wholly inappropriate, and that we agree, and the recourse for the legislature would be, I guess, twofold. One, there is always the opportunity for the legislature to put forward another resolution to undo that. There's the opportunity for the legislature to review the contract that they have with the auditing entity and pursue appropriate resolution. I would suspect that there would probably be a contractual violation with that as well. Something along the lines of, if it's inappropriate, it would probably, be something that when the auditing firm is peer reviewed, it would get flagged in their peer review as well.
I just want to note, this seems different and new because in the past prior years, the Commissioner of Finance / Budget Director was given blanket authority to make changes at the end of the year that carried over into the following year, and the books for the prior year closed by the end of May. So the timing feels weird and the resolution is strange, but it's because you closed up a much bigger, discretion for the Commissioner of Finance previously.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue is I'm trying to avoid these one-off, exceptions, because one-off exceptions add up to becoming the rule again, and we took care of a problem that we had previously. I just don't want to go down that road again. So that and a little frustrating that we're in mid-July and we still don't have complete numbers. I mean, that's just mentioned DSS as a whole. That's concerning. I guess moving forward is fine. I guess I've made my concerns known, but,
I'm just reading the actual And it does say to make transfers of funds and budgetary amendments identified by the county's external auditors. So that clarified exactly what's being done in this auditor's control. So I'm happy with that.
And I would just put the further caveat that though this would give authority to do that, I trust our team also to flag anything that the external auditors would suggest and not do that unless coming back and then having that be a separate resolution.
And I can say that each time that they do have an entry, that it is vetted, it is talked about, like there's something that they're saying, you know, there's new guidance out there that says you should be coding it this way, not the way you're doing it. We've asked for support on that. So they give us OST's guidance. So, and there's always support that's with any entry that we make in any system so that you know that it's a legitimate entry. There are certain entries that we will always have to do each year from January until the audit. Next year, we want to finish the audit earlier, which means we're going to be more of these faster next year. So just something to consider.
All right. Any other discussion? Can you just make sure that the clerk Feaster is kept in the loop on these
she's
requests?
She's CC'd on everything.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to be opposed. That motion is carried. Position 411, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's carried. 412, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 413, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, thank you again, Mr. Chair. I see that we have collected over $6 million in revenue from the sale of these houses. When unpaid taxes was at 1.9 mil. What are we doing with the overage? Are we giving it back to the previous owners by new law, or are we keeping that?
The new, there's been a new New York State law which clarifies that we have to identify the surplus above taxes, interest and fees, and other charges, and that we're going to put in a court and trust account that surplus, which will then be available for a previous owner to apply to the court to get that surplus back.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a time limitation to how long before they before we can use the money, so to speak?
Before we can keep what was surplus?
Yes.
I think it's 3 years from the date of when the title's transferred.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor?
Thank you. Bruce.
So carried. 414. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. 415. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 416. Can I have a motion?
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. Going back to the number for years
371.
371. Can I have a motion for 371?
Motion.
Second. Discussion.
For you, Stel. Chair Barris. So a couple of years ago, the legislature set in motion through an RFP a program that funded legal services to basically to help people that are facing eviction. That program was initiated in 2022. It ran through 2023, and it ended earlier this year. We got a very strong report out from Legal Services of Hudson Valley for how that program went. A couple of things that were learned during that program were, one, pairing the attorneys, which was always part of the legal services, you know, method, with case managers was very, very effective, and they were actually able to help some of the tenants find sustainable housing situation through that whole process. So it's more than just legal services. And then the other thing that they discovered was that when folks have fallen on hard times and they're behind on their rent, there were certain buckets that the attorneys could draw from for other funding sources that were able to pay for arrears, for rental arrears, because of the way ERAP was rolled out, because of everything having to do with COVID. A lot of people were behind on rent. We've heard from landlords that they're paid a lot of back rent. When the attorneys are able to bring that arrears money to court, with the, you know, with those tenants that are facing eviction, in many cases, they're able to keep them in their homes. And the nice thing about the case management and the legal services method, where they're not having a long-term relationship with these tenants, is they're able to only use the arrears money, the basically the rental subsidy money is essentially what it is. They're able to use it in a way that is never going to create a long-term dependency on it. So while we were getting this report out and learning about the end of this program, which I will add still continues in the city of Kingston, because Kingston is a qualifying census tract for another funding source for legal services to continue, but it's not happening any longer for the community outside of Kingston. When legal services was reporting this all out to us, myself, Minority Leader Roberts, Legislator Stewart, we approached the county executive's team to ask them to explore helping folks with a rental subsidy, because displacement is still a huge problem. This is something that we, you know, kind of went around on a series of calls and discussions about. And then when the legal services concept came in, we were like, oh, this actually solves a lot of the issues that would come up with a traditional rental subsidy, where you worry that people are going to become long-term dependent on it. Because these are, you know, this is only going to be short term. You know, you fell behind on your rent. You need this quick fix. This is not going to be, you're not going to be reliant on this subsidy for, you know, to maintain, you know, you have to figure out a sustainable situation. So we kind of brought the two concepts together. So this would, this allocates the funding to continue the program, now expanding it back outside of Kingston the way that it was like the first time we were running it, and then also having a dedicated arrears bucket so that they can be more effective in their cases, because it really does help when the attorneys come into the courtroom and are able to settle those arrears when a tenant is facing their eviction. And so this is the funding allocation. The county executive's team is working on the contract right now, which will is on track, I believe, to come before us next month.
Yeah, I strongly favor this and would like to be a sponsor if the sponsors are willing. And this is a good way to do housing in Ulster County, just keep people in the house they're already in.
Any other discussion? Yeah, Legislator Nolan hit the nail right on the head there with that last statement. You know, it's been a goal of mine to keep people in housing before they become homeless and face eviction. This is win-win for the tenants that have fallen on hard times. This is more of a trampoline and a hammock, so to speak. You know, and the landlords get paid, which is always they have expenses to keep upkeep, maintenance and stuff like that, so they can't afford their tenants not paying. And I'd like to thank Majority Leader Uchitel, Legislator Stewart, and the executive staff for making this happen.
Let me just also say that the report out is that in some cases, this has really been terrifically stabilizing, amazingly stabilizing, with sources of income and approaches for families that had not been identified. So it's an extension of services that we attempt to provide through other means and can come in and in this crisis situation, prevent things from getting to a point where we have to provide all those services in an emergency way, which often is not as good and more expensive. So it seems to me that it's a very intelligent way to use our funding for these populations.
Yeah. All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Care? You didn't get any speeding tickets in the show yourself?
Well, no, nor tickets for watching the first half of the meeting on YouTube while I drove.
Don't say that.
Was there another resolution?
Yes. So, resolution 399, can I have a motion?
Is it?
I made a motion to postpone, please. 1 month. Yeah.
Second.
Basis.
Yeah.
You wanna?
Yeah. So I had asked a question about this contract. It was 5 years. Considering that we had hired a person in the emergency management department, I questioned why do we need that. So I spoke with, I know his name. I was
sure. Director.
Director. Yeah. I think of his title. yes. And this afternoon, and I asked him why do we need to have it for so long, and he actually said we don't. He said they should have the county system up and running in about a year, at the most 2 years. And there is no cancel for convenience in this contract, so even more so concerning. So he said 1 year would be fine. If it was 1 year, it actually doesn't even need to be approved by us because it falls under the $50,000. Legislator Hansen has not been able to speak to Director Erickson, so we're going to postpone for now until she can speak to him. It's more likely we'll be just let the executive's office take care of it next month.
So did we have a second? I will second the motion to postpone.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Close.
There are some forthcoming resolutions. Comfortable again?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to
visit. I'll just give you an update on where we are financially. The county has earned sales tax revenue of $71.6 million so far for 2024. That includes the first June estimated payment. We will receive two additional June payments of sales tax. Total sales tax earnings have increased by 3.27% when compared to the same period in 2023. When I was before you last month, the next day, the city controller, there was an article of the city controller commenting that a payment or two had been down, and I had given you, you know, information that we were up 4%. So I just want you to know we're in regular conversation. I know that he also talks to finance. I called him and I said, that's not what I told Ways and Means. But we are up 3.27% over last year, which was a banner year. Recorded occupancy tax revenues right now are $1.5 million. And if we take into account the $1.1 million in unposted transactions for this revenue account, we're at $2.6 million or 40% of budget so far this year. Budgeted interest income for 2024 was $6.7 million, and we've earned $4.6 million through June of 2024, or 67.8% of budget. To date, $2.2 million of interest income is recorded in the financial system for 2024. On the expenditure side, and I think this goes back to what we were just talking about closing out the books, when we released our quarterly report in June, we were 11% of the adopted budget through the first quarter of the year. We're currently working on our fourth quarter reports for 2022 and for 2023. Delayed financial accounting for those periods, you know, hampered our ability to report on them. There are still outstanding material journal entries for 2023 Q4 and immaterial entries for 2022, but we'll note those in our report. The transfer of bank reconciliation process has been forging ahead, and the finance department has completed January reconciliations, which is great. We would prefer to see not such a long lag. We're still many months behind, and timely reconciliation is really a critical internal control. Finance is obviously working towards that diligently. And we have a new bank reconciliation policy that is out to the administration and finance for comment that we drafted. Once we have their feedback, we're going to come back to you, to the body, to adopt a new policy. A bank reconciliation policy was adopted by the legislature in 2020. So this will be an update to that, given the changes in the charter responsibility. The finance team, I think you've heard, has been working with the auditors, and our office has been able to receive everything that we need, which we really appreciate. We appreciate the work, the hard work of the Department of Finance and O'Connor Davies in preparing the 2023 annual comprehensive report. And we don't see any reason why the September 30th single audit federal deadline will not be met this year. The 2022 single audit was not completed until January of 24, so it's a September deadline, but because of the transition that we had, we were delayed last year. As of June 30th, we have $68 million in our IntraFi cash service account. It was earning 5.26% in June. We're happy about that. $107.5 million is in our Bank of Greene County Deposit Plus account, earning 5.38% in June. Happy about that. $64.8 million in our deposit account, earning 1%. Not so happy about that. On the audit side, and I'm going to close pretty quickly, so I'm sorry this is a long report, we have an audit letter out to the purchasing department to audit the county's P-card program. We've responded to the county executive's request that we audit occupancy tax, and we expect to begin work when all documents are provided by the end of the month. That audit will include field work, and we will be looking at all-inclusive resorts. I think that will be very helpful information for this body going forward. A draft of our revised corporate compliance audit is back out to management for comment. And I just want you to know we have another audit that's completed and was with an outside investigatory agency for review and approval prior to being released. There is a lot of work happening in the comptroller's office that you cannot see, that is not public. We are still engaged on the health insurance audit. We view our work on this as a result, resulting in a new way of reporting on our self-insurance fund beginning in the 2022 audit. So you saw a conversation about that employees had paid into premiums, a lot of premium value had been collected, but it wasn't separately segregated on our financials, and now it is going forward. And in this budget that you see for next year, it'll be the first time that it's in the budget documents. Is that right? Yes? Yeah. At the end of 2022, it was $7.1 million in net position there, which could be used to either take on more risk, reduce stop loss premiums, or reduce employee premiums. So we're pleased about that. And then finally, we're in the drafting stages on reports on sales tax payments to municipalities and community college chargebacks. We look forward to sharing those when they're done. We met with, on the quality analytics side, we met with members of the legislature and executive to share contract reporting recommendations. It was actually, we had a great meeting with the executive team. They're doing some training on for department heads on contract reporting and on key performance indicators. And then we also met with Deputy Executive Contreras and members of the legislature, including Chair Hira Guevaras and Legislative Chair Criswell, to talk about some of the recommendations, which include different levels of reporting based on the contract size. So different level for under 50,000, between 50,000 and 750, which 750,000 is the single audit threshold, as well as tracking unique individuals and capturing a de-identified user experience story. I think it would be very helpful for you to see on the reporting if there is a story of an individual who's been impacted by the services paid for by the county, that you know what that is. And that would really, I think, help put some of these contracts in perspective. Like, what are people actually getting out of it? I'm happy to answer any questions you have, and that's sort of our report. Yeah.
That's when I'm occupancy tax audit completion.
We won't even get documents back until the end of the month, and that's assuming that finance can pull everything together while they're in the middle of these other things. And then we are going to go out and do field work, and I would imagine that there are probably some hospitality institutions that want delays because we are in their busy season. So it's going to be months, I would say October.
Okay.
Yeah, just to give a time frame.
Thank you, Comptroller. Since there's only one sales tax pot, how is Ulster County up and Kingston down?
No. What it was is we had two payments that were slightly down, and that's what Comptroller Tui was speaking to. He was speaking to those specific payments, not the year-to-date. Yeah. And he, I think, is appropriately concerned. Does that show a trend? Are we going to be looking at a trend of, you know, sales tax leveling off or maybe even declining? You know, we know during the downturn in 08 and 09, sales tax, county revenues for sales tax went down 8%. That's a huge hit and something that we should be aware of could at some point be on the horizon if we have a bad economy.
Question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any old business?
We have 12.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the last. So I hand up. That's fine.
So if you'd be so kind as to pass those around.
Of course.
Last month we showed you a report. I'm going to call this one kind of like capital reporting 2.0 with plans for an updated version in the future. We've had some discussions and a document like this, but not exactly like this, would be planned quarterly. There, as you can see, you had requests for an exact list of all of our at-risk FEMA active capital projects. After the first couple pages, you can see them sorted by department, so you can run through. It displays what phase they're in, how much the legislature has approved to date, how much has been expended to date, and how much has been approved and expended in some core. In addition to that, we updated the front page as well a little bit. No longer includes SUNY Ulster projects if we do not manage those projects. But the back page of that front page, since we are their bonding authority, it will display their bonding numbers as we're tracking them throughout the year. The plan on a monthly basis for reporting to you would be any construction capital project that is over $5 million. We'll do an individualized sheet for those, give you a heads up on any red flags we see, give a little more detailed information regarding estimated completion dates, estimated start dates, and anything else that you feel is pertinent.
Yeah, it's Don, you brought up SUNY Ulster. We're the bonding authority. That means we bond and they pay it back?
We bond and 50% comes back, though.
Thank you.
I'd just like to applaud this work. You know, I think it's very responsive to what we were asked to receive. It's very helpful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think our meeting the other day was pretty good, and I think this will get better as we get monthly reports. So, here we go.
I just want to know if there was an update on the salary study. And last meeting, I did ask for the cost of the study, and I haven't heard anything back.
I'll be here. Right now, what we're working with is. Baker Tilly had some trouble getting some of the last of the peer organizations to submit some of their data to us. So my staff went, contacted those other organizations. We were able to finally convince them to submit a lot of the data we need. We felt it was important because those organizations were chosen by a group outside of the executive's office, representatives of legislature union employees. And so we did our best to make sure we got as much data from as many of the peer organizations. That data came in about a couple weeks ago, I'd say. So we're anticipating the vendor needs some additional time to be able to sift through that data, to be updating it. So we're hopeful that we'll have some additional information be able to provide to the legislature, either for hopefully for the August session. That's the goal at this point.
The contract is for $130,090, yep. And so far $20,530 has been extended.
It was originally due in May?
Correct.
Yep.
And your anticipation would be that there would be drawing down against that budgeted amount, that the work has been done, but we just haven't been invoiced for it yet?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Vera, last month I brought up Elizabeth Street, and I expressed my displeasure that there was no movement and anything going on over there. Since then, I've had a talk with the county executive, Metzger, and I was very satisfied with her plan, and she also took action to get the Department of Public Works over there to protect the buildings from any vandalism and so forth. We're not selling the building. The county executive has a plan, and when she's ready to, she disclosed it to me, but it's a private conversation. If you want to speak to her about it, feel free.
Okay. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye, aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah.